good to see you, Saints, again. Well, actually, I don't see everybody. But in my mind's eye or in my spirit's eye, I see you. It's been a while that since we met last, and when the meetings are so far and few between, I tend, maybe you too, tend to forget, what we cover. So we are, I know that we're still in the burden of the group life, I like to call them, which includes the group meetings. Now, all told, in these quite wonderful outlines based on the ministry, of course, on the matter of the small groups. Actually, I did not cover several of these lessons, namely lesson 5, 6, and 7. So, in a way, I like to go back to those just for the sake of completeness. But it's one thing to complete these outlines or just kind of finish them. It's another matter, a parallel matter and more intrinsic matter that I have in my heart, and that really relates more to our present condition and therefore our present need. When I say our, I mean at least in a general way, our situation here in the United States. I know where I am. This situation is there, and therefore the need is also there. And to speak about that, I have to go back to 1992, 93 period, when Brother Witness Lee was still with us. And not only so, at the time, he was still 5, 6 years prior before his death. Physically, you may say, he was still strong enough and able to speak to our situation and to meet our need. In the recovery, and again, specifically here in America. And this actually burden, which was in our brother's heart at that time, I would say, based on my observation, remained with him until his death. I can say that because at that time he was already confined to Southern California, and he did not and could not travel. And so much of his speaking is here in Southern Cal, in Orange County. And I was in most, if not all, of those meetings, and even in meetings and fellowship that were not public, in that they were not conferences or trainings, and when he spoke to all the saints. Not to the saints or even to elders and co-workers in general, but which he did. But his speaking included his very intimate, very direct, very frank fellowship with some of us who were with him as co-workers here in Southern California. And when Brother Lee met with us, this group of people, he had the freedom, and he tended to be more frank, more honest, more direct. And those are fellowship that I could not forget, because they were pointed, they were exposing, they were convicting. And coupled with all his other public speaking, I began to have the kind of the realization that he had, I must say, concerning our need and concerning our condition. That was also the time, those years, when he, I would say, using one of the last ounces of his strength, before he was so debilitated in his last year or 6 months, he still had that burden to give us the training and fellowship under this general topic of the vital groups. Huh? You all heard of this term, the vital groups. In fact, I strongly would like to recommend, even now, to all of you, the first book, or rather the first two books of this vital group training. Now, there are a lot of messages in these books, and, you know, it's not like just reading a message. It's a series of messages that started in 1991 fall, and actually did not conclude until the end of 1996. In between time, they're all together three series of fellowship concerning the vital groups. There would be a gap between the first two and number three. There's a gap. You cover series one and series two successively, but there would be a gap before he started series three. And these days, and I have not fully done so, but I have the burden to do so, I am burdened to revisit these books myself. And I've read these things many times. I'm quite familiar with them. I was in most of those meetings, again, if not all of them. But these fellowships remain to be my touch point until today. in my inner burden for America, for the saints and the churches in America. I'll put it another way, that it is my conviction, and I do not say this with a critical attitude, or nor do I say this, pessimism. But I must admit that I say this with an amount of sadness, an amount of a great deal of repentance to the Lord, and if I may say so, to Brother Lee. So the two books are number one, Fellowship Concerning the Urgent Need of the Vital Groups. Okay? Fellowship Concerning the Urgent Need of the Vital Groups. I believe they're in other languages already, Chinese, Spanish, Korean. And that's book one. Book two is called The Training and Practice of the Vital Groups. These two are a set. In a way, even though there are three series of vital group trainings, I consider these two as a set, given over a two-year period of time. You have this title in the first book that I just mentioned, The Urgent Need. The Urgent Need. So when he talk about the urgent need of the vital groups, Brother Lee was actually talking about the urgent need of the churches in the USA, and by extension, in the West. Why I say that? Because just the decade before, and that would be in the mid 1980s, he actually relocated to Taiwan to be with the churches there, particularly the church in Taipei, for 5 long years. And there he did his best to meet the urgent need in Taiwan. But while he was doing that, in inwardly, and I think I can say this with a great deal of assurance, that his burden was not limited just to Taiwan. Taiwan, because of its many assets of the Lord's recovery in terms of churches, the work, the finances, just the sheer number of saints in Taiwan, and a very long history of the Lord's recovery there, was a base, if you will, a place which Brother Lee could use to begin his study, really to study the recovery situation. Now, when we talk about these things, we have to bear in mind that by that time, in the 1980s, the Lord's recovery has been present for about 60 some odd years, 60 years plus on the earth. And it has started in China, mainland China, and then for 30 years, let's say, and then another 10 years, in Taiwan, and then another 20 years in the U.S., beginning in Los Angeles and all the way to Anaheim, as far as the center of the ministry and the work is concerned. So 60 years. 60 years is a long time. And for any movement today of 60 years, it's a long time. But of course, time flies, and think about it. From the time of Brother Lee's passing, 5 years after he spoke these messages, until now, it's already 30 years. Am I correct? Almost. By next year, you'll be 30 years. That would be one third of years in our history. The Lord's recovery by now has been on the earth, say, 105 years. And that is quite a long time. You know, people, we talk about the British Brethren and so forth. Actually, the active days of that movement, which surely was the Lord's recovery in that age, was a very short time, brothers. It started in the mid 1800s, and not long after that, divisions began in that movement. And that is a great movement, so much so in terms of the truth that was recovered in the divine revelation in the Bible through those great teachers, brethren teachers. We would not be here without them. We stand on their shoulders, and for sure, the ministry of these two brothers, brothers Ni and Li, would not have been without the brethren. Yet that movement, and I'm not just talking about the truth that was released, but the brethren movement as far as a kind of a, shall we say, church life, as far as their testimony is concerned, was actually very brief. By the time of the late 1800s, major crack and rift and division has already occurred. And as you go on to the first of the 20th century, that continue and accelerated to the point that the brethren were just broken apart into hundreds and hundreds of sects or divisions. While the truth that the Lord used them to recover shined and benefited so many. You may not know that D.M. Panton, a great spiritual Christian teacher, who was a mentor of Sister Margaret, Elizabeth Margaret Barber, who was Brother Ni's mentor. I think it was him. If not him, it was Pember. Both are, it starts with a P, huh, their last name. Said that although very few people today know or have heard about the brethren. that its spiritual impact was actually greater than that of the Reformation. And I subscribe to that. If you know what they have recovered in the matters of these great divine truths. But again, that's the truth side. You follow me? I'm talking about that movement in the test, in the way of the church, in the way of testimony, in the way of a church life that we call. It was short-lived. And today, we're here 105 years later, okay? After the recovery of the Lord among us began with Watchman Nee in the early 1920s. And that's a long time. And for a movement, and as a movement, we also have been through lots of up and downs, lots of twists and turns, turmoils, rebellions, divisions. We have our share over these over 100 years. The enemy is constantly at work, and the recovery is always a strategic target of his. We should not, in a way, be surprised on his stratagems and plots and attacks. But by the Lord's great mercy, brothers and sisters, the recovery is still here. Amen. The recovery is still here. And after Brother Nee, of course, Brother Nee started this under the Lord's sovereign leading. The Lord used him, this rare, great gift, to take this narrow way, not never becoming a popular teacher, a acclaimed minister, taking the way of Christianity, rather taking the hidden way, the way of the cross, the way of suffering, to maintain this testimony of Jesus. He did that. And of his 50 years of service to the Lord, 20 of them, those are his last years, he was actually imprisoned and did not have a public ministry. Yet today, of course, the effect and the influence of his writings and books is huge. And in the Lord's sovereignty, through change in the world situation and all of that, leadership in this ministry and in the work of the Lord's recovery fell on surely a disciple of his, only 2 years younger, and that's Witness Lee. And it would take me a lot of time to make the case with all of us that these two brothers were one, that these two ministries were one, that together they form the ministry of this age. Whereas with the brethren, there are many great teachers, but eventually many of those teachers divided from one another. But these two great men, I would say their gift, their capacity, is comparable to the brethren, great teachers. Yet these two were one. One like a father, the other like a son. One a leader and then the other follower. One a initiator, and the other, I would make up this word, a consummator. And you put these two together, brothers and sisters, you have the ministry of the age. And this was of God. No man had done this. Two young Chinese men with no formal theological training. Brother Ni very much got the help from John Nelson Darby. Brother Li got the help through a Newtonian, Benjamin Newton, another branch of the brethren, for 7 to 9 years in northern China. And that great them gave these brothers the foundation in the Word of God that the Lord would use to build upon. So not only the teaching of the truth, but eventually this whole realm of life, the whole realm of the what we call, or what used to be called, the inner life. These brothers, with Brother Ni in the lead, and with the great, great sovereign help of Sister Barbara. You just go and read the biography of Watchman Ni, you know what I'm talking about. This amazing balance of truth and life. The result of that is the church. You put truth, you put life together, the result must be the church. Not just great teachings, not just spirituality, but all of this truth and life must be for the church. And so the church became a very, very pronounced, outstanding feature among us. In fact, today when we talk about the recovery, we meant the recovery of the truths, the recovery of life, and the recovery of the church with its practices, the recovery of the practices of the church life. Talk about groups. Talk about day-to-day, house-to-house. All this must be recovered as part of the practice of the church life. They're in the Bible, sometimes as teaching, other times as patterns. So here we are 105 years later, or when Brother Lee passed away, that would be 65 years or so later. That's a long time. And with anything that exists for a long time, there's always the possibility of what? Just like if you study the seven epistles, huh? In Revelation, you know, the seven churches. That depicts, according to Brother Nee's interpretation, the church history since 2,000 years ago. The early church, then the church under persecution. That's Ephesus, and then Smyrna. And then the worldly church, the church that married the world, Pergamos. Then the church in Thyatira, the total degradation of the church, that's the Romish church, Catholicism. Then Sardis, the beginning of God's recovery of the church, the Protestant church. And then Philadelphia, which Brother Nee consider the brethren. And then it does not end there. There would actually be a Laodicea after Philadelphia. And you look at all those seven epistles depicting the seven ages in the New Testament church history, you'll see that it is full of failure, full of problems, full of defeats, full of things that the Lord, that faithful witness, judged and exposed. And call to repentance. And so, brothers and sisters, I'm saying this with our long history, just ourselves, these 105 years. We face the same kind of danger, if you will. And that's just naturally, you know, you live for so long on this earth. The second law of thermodynamics. I don't know these things. There's something called atrophy. There's something on things naturally will move more and more into a chaotic state. In living organisms, it's called aging. It's called decay. It's called degradation. It just happens. And so even something that began full of life, full of vitality, full of freshness, full of just livingness, huh? Over time can slow down. And And there's a loss of energy, there's a loss of dynamism, there's a loss of activity. It gets old. It gets stale. It gets stuck. All these things we old people know, the heart problem, the lung problem, this part and that part of our organs, this and that kind of disease. And so, in the case of the church, besides these things just running its course, God has an enemy who is compounding these things and to weaken the church, to degrade the church, to damage the church, and even eventually to destroy it. That's the enemy's stated goal. So, brothers, in the Church of God, and for us in his recovery move, it's a constant battle to sustain ourselves, to maintain ourselves after many, many years, a century, to remain what? Not only alive, to remain one. How about that? Just to be one. And not break apart and splinter into pieces and sects and divisions as the brethren experience. The most spiritual group, the Philadelphia in Brother Nee's interpretation. And for this recovery to remain, again, to borrow a secular word, relevant. As the age, the world age changes and moves on, is our testimony, the recovery testimony, still relevant? So, this matter of keeping the Lord's recovery fresh, new, living, strong, prevailing, growing, increasing, you know what I mean. These life signs, these must have life conditions. Oh, brothers, it's not an easy thing. If you sit there and just let nature take its course, that's not going to happen. It will continue to degrade. Okay? Even machines are like that. Forget about living organisms if you don't maintain it. Maintain them. You said, when are you going to talk about the groups? I don't know. I'm just talking whatever is in my heart with you. And brothers, we're facing these things. Brother Lee, in the early 90s, when he speak about the urgent need, the vital groups, this and that, went back to Taiwan to restudy a way we should meet and serve. He was fighting. He was struggling. He was doing his best at his advanced age to do what he could to ensure the recovery, not ensure to help the recovery, not just to die off. You know, even the universe, when the energy is spent, the galaxy collapse. Forgive me this kind of layman, ignorant speaking of cosmology. It run out of fuel, it die out. Over and over again in the Christian realm, in the church realm, in church history, then the Lord has to do something else. The Lord has to raise up another group, another people, because God cannot be stopped. Brothers, when you zoom out and consider the Lord's recovery in this way, I just every day almost could not rest well, sleep well, and sort of everything is okay. We just keep going and just because I saw someone, that's brotherly, who didn't do that until the very end. So, what is our need today? Well, in 19, after he finished this first book, the first series of vital group training, he had that famous conference that I mentioned to some of the brothers here in 1993, Memorial Day, in Anaheim, in Hilton Hotel, where he conducted that conference in a different way. And that is not just by him speaking, but he being one of the 47 brothers speaking in a blended way. The opening word of that conference is right here in front of me. And this crystallizes the intrinsic need of the recovery at that time. And may I submit now, nowadays, even more so. Let me read to you. It's just four Roman numeral, the shortest of outlines that I've seen brotherly wrote based on Revelation chapter 3, 1 to 3 on the church in Sardis and verses 14 through 16 to the church in Laodicea, the Lord's words. Roman 1, we need to be vital for the Lord's recovery. That's it. Why vital groups used to be called small groups, home groups. Then he picked up a new term, vital groups. That threw me off and threw a lot of us off. What? Is it a small group? It's not home group? Well, precisely, he's making a point. The need is vitality, brothers. It's not just small group. It's not just home group. We need all of that. And we have talked a lot about. But without vitality, all those are just some ways, even important, necessary ways. Vitality, spiritual vitality, my dear brothers and sisters, is still the main need today in the Lord's recovery. among you in Northern California and where I am in Southern California and in this United States and all over the earth. Our enemy, therefore, is what Brother Lee would point out here. So Roman 2, we should condemn the condition in Sardis. Condemn. He started with Sardis because Sardis referred to the Protestant church, which, generally speaking, we're a part of. And you know the story, the Lord's words to that church. And I feel I need to read it to you, even though we're all familiar with that epistle, verses 1 through 3. And to the messenger of the church in Sardis, write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God. Now listen. The Lord here is referred to as the one who has the seven spirits of God. Think about that. Why seven spirits? Because of the lack of vitality. And the seven stars, the seven stars shining stars, all right? And Brother Lee told us in an unforgettable way, he said in these epistles, in Revelation, the age of Revelation, there are no more elders, just stars, messengers of Christ in the churches, just shining, just on fire. Burning. We know the stars, like the sun, they're just burning. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are living, and yet you are dead. That's it. So Brother Lee here has A under Roman 2, having a name of being living, and yet being dead. And in verse 2, become watchful and establish the things which remain, the things that which remain. That means there are things that has been lost and that has been recovered. Through, starting with the Reformation, when the work of God's recovery began, the faith, the Bible, all these things, the truths, these things. What is the word here? The word is these are the things that remain. That means these things are being lost again. These things which remain, and then the Lord said, which were about to die. These things that have been recovered are dying once again. For I have found none of your works completed before my God. Talk about consummation. What has the Lord has started he will finish, and they must be finished. What God has begun in his recovery since Martin Luther has to be consummated in the New Jerusalem. Am I right? What the brethren has restored needs to be consummated in our high peak of the divine revelation and so forth. The problem with Sardis is they were about to die and they were not to complete. They were not, their works were not found completed before God. And then the Lord says, remember therefore how you have received and heard and keep it and repent.
Amen.
If therefore you will not watch, I will come as a thief, and you shall by no means know at what hour I will come upon you. So the problem here, and Brother Lee in Romans 2b says, having nothing completed, but having all things dying. So Sardis is a church in a constant dying state. They're not dead. They're just dying. Dying is their condition. Getting old is their condition. The diminishing of vitality is their regular condition. That's the condition of Sardis, and that's what the Lord condemned. And Brother Lee say, we should condemn it. Romans 3, he came to Laodicea in verse 14 through 16 of Revelation 3. He said this, Brother Lee said, we should abhor the situation in Laodicea. We should not only not agree with it, we should hate it. The situation of in Laodicea. So here are the verses, the word of the Lord. And to the messenger of the church in Laodicea write, these things, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I am about to spew you out of my mouth. And then three verses later, actually, he said this, as many as I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous. You know, this word zealous here actually means boiling. Boiling, burning, hot. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And so here our Brother Lee said in 3a, being neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm, be to be spewed out of the Lord's mouth. So with Laodicea, the fallen, the recovered church that has fallen again. Okay? There's only one thing, one direction to go for Philadelphia. Well, two options. One, to remain as Philadelphia, or two, become Laodicean. And in a very good, I think this is applicable to the brethren movement, that they have become Laodicean. Their condition is, they say, they're wealthy, they're rich with the truth, they're proud of the truth that they see, and they don't need anything. When the true condition is, according to the Lord, they were wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. They were proud. They had the best. They were rich. But actually, the actual spiritual reality was the other way. So they were counseled to buy gold from the Lord, to buy white garments from the Lord, and to buy eyesalve from the Lord. We don't have the time to get into this. That's the real condition. And all this condition is a description of lukewarmness. Or the source of lukewarmness. You know, brothers and sisters, we could be the same. We have the ministry of the age. We have the highest truth, bar none, highest. We have this all-inclusive, all-inheriting ministry. We have it all. But we could be lukewarm. So in Romans 4, Brother Lee said, hence, we should hate deadness and lukewarmness that we may be vitalized. So that's my touch point, brothers and sisters. All right? This is 35 years ago. To me, this word is still our need. Our problem in the recovery, our need is, please understand me, and not misunderstand me, is not a shortage of knowledge in things of truth, in things of life, in things of the church. Our shortage today is that vitality, which seems sometimes elusive. But the Lord's word is, you be zealous and repent. He didn't say, you repent and be zealous. He said, you be zealous and then repent. That means we could be hot. We can be boiling. Deadness, brothers, could come from just the abundance of knowledge, which we have a lot. Of doctrinal forms. And all these things that we know, and they are wonderful, they are glorious, they are marvelous, could make a church lukewarm. Today, the repentance we need is a repentance of that, of our lukewarmness, and, may I say, of our deadness. To be what? To be zealous again. To be boiling again. To be burning again. So that all these things that we know would really, really become real, living, fresh. And when we have that, we will be the Lord's recovery. We will be that testimony of Jesus. We will be that recovered church. So the Lord said, I'm at the door. He's at our door. I think that's both the personal door and the collective door. He's not even at the door, brothers and sisters. He's knocking. I stand at the door and knock. Because we are not knocking, so he keeps knocking. If anyone will hears my voice, I'm nobody, brothers and sisters. I don't claim I'm anybody. But I hope that my poor speaking here has his voice. The voice is that we should open the door, meaning the door has become closed, which means we have lost his manifested presence, which means he is not inside. Then I will come in to dine with him and he with me. Then he issued the call, he who overcomes, and said the same thing he said in the end of every epistle, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Brothers, how do we practice the group? I tell you, if we are dead, I don't care what points I give, it does not work. If we are lukewarm, whatever wonderful instructions we receive won't work. We need some instruction. We need some training. But if we are have no fuel, if we are spent, if we are lifeless, if we are like in the hospital bed with tubes, if we are have no energy, if we're not vital, then, brothers and sisters, actually nothing works. We had in this country the glory days. We did. When we didn't know half as much, a quarter as much. But listen, I was there. And I'm not pining for good old days, but I must testify. Because it's real. We were living. We were alive. We were super vital. We were crazy. We were dynamic. We were fresh. So we made a lot of mistakes and did things wrong. But we were not dead and we were not lukewarm. Now, after I say all of this, I fear that we would all become depressed and give up and become discouraged. No, you shouldn't. How could we? As sad and repentant that I would become, I cannot give up. This is his recovery that I'm in. This is not about even me. This is about his testimony. Brothers, as I look, as I dream, I see the Lord's recovery making another turn, being revived, experiencing a spiritual renewal, coming out of death in a condition of deadness, coming out of a condition of lukewarmness. Listen, armed with the truths that we have now, armed with the truth that we have now, today, if we become people full of life, full of the Spirit, filled in Spirit, burning in Spirit, boiling in Spirit, vital, living, I tell you, brothers, there is great hope still. There is a future for the Lord's recovery. And I especially appeal to the younger generation here. Those of you who are not in Eldon, all right? Those of you who missed those early days, so-called. The glory of the latter house should be greater. So these days, I conclude, at least this segment, at least now, brothers, I feel one thing we can do is that we can all go to pray, but not in some lukewarm way, kind of, but in a desperate way. I mean, in a way, in a door-opening way, to the one who's knocking. In a repentant way, let us pray. Pray for the Lord's recovery. Pray for his testimony in this country. Pray for your area. Pray for your church. Pray for yourself. So, Brother Lee, when, before that, he just spoke to us about his dream, it's called a revival, a great revival, a new revival, even a final revival. And he did not see it. He did not see it. You know, Brother Lee had a famous dream when he was in Chifu, held by the Japanese, you know, the military, of this German shepherd or something, you know, trying to, you know, attack him. But he couldn't. And then he saw some steps and leading up to a view of just tremendous, brilliant glory. And he woke up and he then said, that German shepherd are just the Japanese. And that glory is the future of the Lord in his recovery. And that he has seen. May it be not to the consummate end, but he did see a lot of that. And in fact, he was an instrument. He was instrumental to that. But this dream, for this final revival, he has not. Brothers and sisters, it's left to us, you and me, not just to the co-workers, elders, but to each one of us. I hope you will find a way, even in your current small group, to pray about this and for this. He charges. Every day, pray for this revival to come. And then, brothers and sisters, we just need to be zealous, be boiling, to exercise our spirit, to release our spirit, to live in the spirit, to be filled with the spirit. And in fact, the experience of that is mainly by prayer. And if you read this book one, you'll probably have several chapters on this kind of specific prayer that leads to repentance, that leads to dealing, that leads to whatever. Eventually, that leads to freedom, freeing us, liberating us from all kinds of things. Into the spirit. Oh, may the spirit come. You know, talk about the group. I tell you, that's what we need. I can tell you, this is how you should meet. This is how you should do. Those are good, necessary. They're ministry based. But I tell you, when a person is living, almost anything works. Even mistakes work. But when a person is dying, nothing, the best, could not work. We need the Spirit, brothers and sisters. This is our only need, the Spirit.